Well, let's just pray, shall we, as we come to listen to God's word this evening. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that your heart is full of love towards boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. So wrote Charles Dickens through the character of Ebenezer Scrooge. He continued, I like the darkness. At least it's cheap. I keep adjusted to the gloom, the creeping doom that soon consumes the earth in tombs. The Scrooge approach to Christmas wants to stare full square into the reality of death, the darkness of our world that we see around us and mope. Maybe we have already given in to a little of our inner Scrooge this Christmas. We play along with those annoying, cheery types who do not really live in reality. And snow is particularly annoying for Scrooges. Maybe to counter this gloom, we are shoppers. Shopping is our thing. There's so many good things to enjoy. We busy ourselves with all the good things of life. We buy now, pay in the new year. The key to joy, we figure, is to have things that bring happiness. Good food, good wine, good presents, all of sufficient quality for enjoyment. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Shop till you drop, in more sense than one. Except the stress. I don't know if I'm the only one who gets stressed by shopping. If you're anything like me, you look for the sales on Christmas Eve. And then they start again on Boxing Day. Shopping seems to go all the way up to Christmas Day and start straight after Christmas Day. We get stressed, so much so that we maybe don't celebrate as we would like to. Or maybe we celebrate by bigging up Santa. So we've got the Scrooge approach, we've got the shopping approach, we've got the Santa approach. We buy into the marshmallow religion, the sugar daddy in the sky. We buy the app. Sorry if I've just blown your cover here this evening with that diagram on the right. Children, look away now. We figure that, like Santa, baby Jesus is just for the children, for the naive. And although we remember our childhood disillusionment and we figure out the deeply suspicious practice of Santa, who gives gifts only to the good, we figure out that if we are good in life, we will be blessed. Or maybe these aren't our approaches at all. Maybe we just feel frustrated with all the confusion, the demands on our time and money at Christmas, like that vintage Milton Jones joke. I hope you like Milton Jones on Mot the Week. There is Joseph at the inn in Bethlehem, holding a crib of straw and saying quizzically, "No, I asked to see the manager." No, people didn't really get it last week either. You see, is there any way that celebrates Christmas, that takes the best of each of these approaches, yet is not Scrooge, is not shopper, is not Santa? And there is the stable. See, these four kinds of celebrating Christmas have been taken from a website which you're encouraged to go and have a look at, maybe not Christmas Day, maybe Boxing Day or the day after. And to find out which kind of Christmas you do celebrate. Is it Scrooge or shopper or Santa or stable? See, there is a way of celebrating Christmas that does not ignore the darkness of our world, that does not pretend it's not there. There is a way of celebrating Christmas which has deep joy, yes, in the good things of life, but a joy that goes so much deeper. And something which is true, no myth for the naive. It's summed up in just three words that we're thinking about this evening. God with us. God with us. God can be with each one of us here this evening. And this true celebration of Christmas begins with a real virgin birth. Yes, a real virgin birth. I believe in the virgin birth. We may think, well, is that real? Is any of Christianity real? Well, if that's where you're coming from as a skeptic, do join us at Grill the Vicar on January the 18th and fire any questions you might like to me about any aspect of the Christian faith and its veracity. But I'm going to limit myself this evening just to the virgin birth. You see, Joseph did not initially believe in the virgin birth. Don't know if you spotted that in the text we had read for us. He found out that Mary was with child before they came together. So we read in verse 19, because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he planned to divorce her quietly. In those days, engagements were legal. You were as good as married. You had to get the place sorted out before you'd sleep together and then be able to raise the children. And Joseph knew how babies were made. And anything that Mary told him about angels and God, he simply was not buying, was he? He did not believe in the virgin birth. But he was a good man. He didn't want Mary to be disgraced or worse in the culture of that day. So he would divorce her on the quiet. But something changed his mind. Something really happened to Joseph. Something supernatural. An angel turned up in his dream. In verse 20 we read, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. You see, Joseph wasn't one of those gullible types. He wasn't naive. Something supernatural convinced him. And now he had to bear the disgrace of not waiting, as they should have done in those days, until they were married. See, until he encountered the supernatural, Joseph did not believe. But God was with Joseph, and the same can be true of you and me. Not in the same way. We shouldn't sort of hang around waiting for angels to show up. But no, the true and living God. See, God is not just an idea, nor a myth, or a crutch, but a real being whom we can meet. And many here this evening would say, we have met him. I have met him. God with us. Before I met my wife, I didn't know that she existed. But once I had met my wife, no one would be able to convince me that she did not exist or that she was not worth knowing. It's a bit like that with meeting God. Knowing God with us is a bit like that. It's not an idea. It is meeting a person in space-time history, in reality. Well, how do we meet this God? Well, through the Bible, because the Bible is about this person, Jesus Christ, in whom we meet God, God with us. See, Matthew quotes a prophecy written 750 years before the birth of Jesus. Isaiah 7, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew says this virgin birth means that Jesus Christ is the one in whom we can meet God. God with us. What kind of God, though? Don't know what your conception of God is here this evening. I'm just going to give you a little taster of what the Bible reveals about what God is like. Because often, if you're anything like me, our view of God gets twisted by our experiences in life. This is how the Bible reveals God. He speaks. He acts in history. He can be met, but only on his terms, not ours. He is the God who made all things and is seen and heard in creation. We all know this God exists. He is the God who rescues and destroys. He is the God who is love, but is also holiness, justice, and righteous fury. He is self-existent. He never changes. He is an eternal spirit. He cannot be observed. He is the Most High, and he fills the whole universe. He is the origin of all that is good and will destroy all evil and all who side with it. He is love. And because of his love, it is this God who came to be with us in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So God, but with, how? How can God possibly be with people like you and me? Well, the virgin birth means that this God has become human forever in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. Our reading from John 1 put it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. That God. Well, what's happened that we celebrate at Christmas? Well, verse 14, the Word became flesh, human. He made his dwelling among us. And John, who was the closest friend of Jesus, said, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace. That's God's undeserved love towards us, and truth. This is real. God become a human being. Why? Well, so that we can receive him. Verse 7 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision, but born of God. See, God can be with us because he became one of us. We can understand what another human being says. And he did it so we can join his family forever. This is too good to be true, isn't it? In 2010, 33 miners were trapped 2,000 feet below the surface by an explosion that dumped 770,000 tons of rock on top of them. And it seemed very unlikely that they would be rescued. But there followed the most amazing rescue mission, drilling 2,000 feet through solid rock to reach the men. But this journey and rescue, whilst heroic, was nothing in comparison to the journey and rescue of Jesus Christ. He left his throne in heavenly glory. God, who is infinite, became a human being. God, who is justice personified, died in an unjust, trumped up charges on a cross to rescue us. He died in the place of people like you and me, taking the righteous fury of God against people like you and me so that we can live forever. He was plunged into darkness so that we can live in God's light forever. And so when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we can know God's light and comfort and love and forgiveness if we will trust in him. You see, there is hope in the face of the real darkness in our world. We don't need to be Scrooges. There is joy that goes deeper than the Boxing Day sales. Yes, even deeper than that. And it is no myth. There are people here this evening who would say, this is more true to me than anything else in my life, me included. This is a person who existed in history. So, a question, just as I begin to close. Will you consider this person, Jesus Christ, or reconsider him? God with us. Is God with you? See, if we ignore Jesus Christ, we are ignoring the way in which God has organized for us to meet him. If we ignore Jesus Christ, we should not be surprised if we end up not experiencing God, because this is the place where God has ordered for us to meet with him safely, in a loving relationship with him, joining his family. So, how might we do that? And these are just a few suggestions. Maybe take a gospel and read about Jesus prayerfully over the Christmas period. We'd love you to receive a Christmas book, which is based on those four kinds of Christmas celebration. There's a website you can go and investigate more if you're not a reading kind of person. Or maybe come back to church in the weeks or months ahead. You would all be welcome. We're just a bunch of people here who have encountered Jesus Christ and want others to know that life-transforming experience. We know God with us, and we long for others to know God with you. And that's just the question I want to close with. Maybe even this evening we need to come to Jesus Christ for the first time, asking him to forgive us and to be our God. And the wonderful news of Christmas is that we can know God with us, with you, even this evening. We can join the family. And if that's something you want to do, then do at least just say that you'd like to find out more from me in the weeks and months ahead. Well, may God be with you, truly with you, individually with you, this Christmas through his Son, Jesus Christ. And can I wish you all that kind of happy Christmas.